You had a better intro. I would like you to do
it. Mine had more energy. You want to hear it?
Yeah.
Tom Mikitas. Isn't that better? Tom, do you like that intro?
Well, I've had worse.
I mean, okay, thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. The human Prozac is what we like to call him. He's a DePaul professor, a historian, an author who's written many books on terrorism, security. All right. North Korea, all of a sudden, is kind of on the back burner because we've had some hurricane issues. And we wanted to talk to you about any updates because I think what was their last thing they did?
Well, of course, they had the what we suspect may be a hydrogen bomb test followed by another missile test. And we've also had the United Nations ramping up the sanctions on them. But the sanctions were not ramped up as much as the U.S. wanted because to appease Russia and China, we ratcheted them back down a little bit.
In your opinion, Tom, should we or shouldn't we be just a little bit nervous about this?
Nervous, yes. Alarmed, no. I think basically, I mean, those of us who grew up and lived through the Cold War and grew up in the shadow of the bomb realized that the policy we had then that was quite effective is containment is what we'll have to do here. North Korea could launch potentially a missile. There's a lot of ifs here, you know, and I'm going by open source information. I don't have a security clearance or anything like that. That, you know, we don't know about the accuracy of the guidance system. We don't know about how well this thing would work on the tip of a missile and so on and so on. It is worrisome, but, you know, it doesn't do them much good to throw one nuke at the United States and be obliterated, which is what would happen. So I think essentially we're seeing signs of a rational actor who still nonetheless, I mean, I know that sounds a little off, but nonetheless is trying to demonstrate that he has the ability to cause some harm. On the other hand, he's so dependent on Russia, on China, that I don't expect him to do something completely crazy.
Tom, what if Washington called you today and said, Tom, we respect you. We know that you're a terrorism expert. What do we do in a situation like this? What would you tell them?
Well, first of all, what I would do is to tell them to keep on keeping on. In other words, to keep the back channel communications going, you know, make clear to North Korea what our capabilities are, and, you know, continue to work with China to try and defuse the situation. It's really not in China's interest to see us forward deploy a lot more hardware, which if this thing continues to escalate, we would certainly do. So I think I'm optimistic that, you know, optimistic. I'm cautiously optimistic. The cooler heads are going to prevail here.
Well, there seems to be no other choice because if we do go to blowing each other up, who wins in that one? No one.
Yeah, I really don't think at this point that would hit the United States. I mean, first of all, we haven't even gotten into the whole question of our ability to shoot missiles down. Now, anti-ballistic missile technology is not a completely reliable thing, but the speculation is we have a 50-50 chance or greater of hitting one of their missiles. And then if we unleash, you know, unshirted hell on North Korea, they would be knocked out. South Korea would suffer a great deal because even just their conventional capability over 80,000 pieces of artillery, many of them within range of Seoul, would level that city. So, you know, the loss of life would be pretty catastrophic, and it would fall mainly on our allies in the region.
Is this like a poker game where you're bluffing with what you have? And are we surprised, though, that they have the capabilities to make these missiles and hydrogen bombs? Was this a shock to anyone when he started the tests?
I don't think it was. I think Korea watchers have been concerned about this for some time. During the Clinton administration in the 90s, there was an effort afoot to replace the reactors that can allow you to produce weapons grade material with I think they call them light water reactors. You'd have to ask a nuclear physicist for the details on that. That would have been safer, but would have met some of their energy needs. Unfortunately, those talks broke down, and as a result, we've seen this ratchet up. And two, unfortunately, the physical confrontation has been exasperated by a war of words and tweets. But I think the good news is since General Kelly has taken over as chief of staff in the White House, we've seen a lot more measured and moderate communication coming out of the West Wing, too.
Tom, walk me through this. If I understand this correctly, we know that North Korea has the capability to create hydrogen bombs. What we don't know is their missile system on exactly how specific they can be on where to shoot them. Is that correct?
Well, yeah, that's my understanding. And again, I want to stress, stay within my area of expertise. I'm not an expert on guidance and international ballistic missiles. My understanding is their guidance systems are not terribly accurate. So the problem with the way the media is pitching this is, yes, theoretically, one of their missiles could go as far as Chicago. Realistically, that's not a high probability scenario. It's worrisome. I'm on the West Coast at the minute, so yeah. Even a little closer. Yeah. But I'm not losing any sleep over it, because I think the real deterrent is the same thing that worked during the Cold War, is the realization that nobody wins in a nuclear exchange. And that I think is what's really keeping a lid on this.
All right, the new sanctions that were drafted on mm-hmm. Monday, designed to accomplish six major goals: cap North Korea's oil imports, ban textile exports, end additional overseas labor contracts, suppress smuggling efforts, and stop joint ventures with other nations, and sanction designated North Korean government entities. This is according to someone familiar with the negotiations. To me, I want stricter sanctions.
So do the United States. But in order to get this through the Security Council and to get the support of China and Russia, the U.S. back down, I think it's something like a 55% cap, whereas originally we wanted 100%, and we also wanted to target the personal assets of Kim Jong-un, and also, you know, to do more. And we were forced to moderate that if we wanted the support of China and Russia and this to be a genuinely international effort. So that's why you have moderation there, which raises the real question as to what degree will they work. Sanctions, as we saw in the case of Iraq, have a bad habit of hurting ordinary people, but don't necessarily make dictators uncomfortable.
That was my question. How are the people of North Korea going to be affected by these sanctions as opposed to...
Yeah, well, they have to worry, they actually have to worry about food. I mean, they, that's a food insecure nation. And I'm sure the energy, you know, the energy reductions will hurt them. There will be a lot of human suffering. But it's not like it's a democracy where they can express their discontent by voting their leader out of office.
Should this escalate, Tom, who is on North Korea's side?
Well, it depends how it escalates. China has made clear that in the event of if North Korea were to fire at an American ally or try to hit the U.S., they would understand the U.S. would respond pretty massively. They've made very clear that they would not sit by idly and allow us to engage in a preemptive strike. And I think that's the thin line we have to tread, you know?
Yeah.
There's most military experts would tell you there really is no good military option here, and that, you know, containment negotiations and engagement are probably the way to go with the saber, you know, the blade of the saber exposed enough to make really clear that what we could do. We've already moved forward some more missile defense capability. I was reading this morning, South Korea was talking about, putting together a decapitation strike team. I'm not optimistic that would work very well. In other words, the ability to take out Kim Jong-un himself and so on. I don't think China would be prepared to let him get that out of control. And I can't believe that they don't have eyes on the ground inside North Korea.
Okay, and what do we make of this threat that the United States would pay, quote, due price if harsh sanctions were passed by the Security Council?
Oh, you know, that's part of the war of words, the inflammatory rhetoric. I mean, I take that with a grain of salt. That's part of the flinging of language back at each other. And not, you know, he's always spoken like that. I'm not terribly alarmed by it.
Tom, rewind for just a second about the idea of some group coming in and taking out Kim Jong-un. First of all, that would be considered an act of war if that happened, correct?
Yeah, and it's we also have a stated policy of not doing that. So even if it did not escalate to war, it in fact it would set a very bad precedent, and it's not clear we wouldn't reap a terrible response elsewhere in the world with that. So, you know, we're reluctant to do that. And it's not clear we could do it. It's got pretty good security. It moves around a lot. I've not heard that offered as a particularly good option. And then the assumption is it's the same thing. Part of what we're struggling with in Syria, you remove Assad, then what? You know, who's taking over? The devil you know versus the one you don't. And I think, you know, quite honestly, if anyone were to remove him, it would be the Chinese, and they would have some kind of backup plan in place.
But to anyone who...
I don't really...
But if you think by taking out Kim Jong-un, you've killed the snake because you cut its head off, that's not necessarily the case, right? There's other people who have similar ways of thinking.
Well, exactly. And, yeah, I don't know that there wouldn't be a better option, but there's no guarantee of that. And that's a pretty aggressive and pretty bold step.
Yeah.
Same thing, too, is, you know, I think a more likely thing would be that I think the next likely military response, if we did, is to try and shoot one down if they tried to, you know, if it looked like it was going anywhere, you know, in an area that concerned us. But then again, you know, if you try that and you miss, now you've just squandered some credibility, too.
Yeah.
And no one has, you know, and this is not coming from me, this is coming from the Pentagon and retired military and so on. No one has really laid out anything like a very good military option. And most people consider that sort of a last resort. Nobody really wants to start a war. And what's true is, the good news, too, is we have not repositioned a lot of military assets in East Asia in a provocative sort of way.
Tom Mikaitis is on the line with us. He's a professor at DePaul, a historian, a terrorism expert, an author. What is your website for people to find out all your books?
Yeah, it's under Digication. It's TomMikaitis.com, I think is what it is. It's through DePaul University. If you go to the department website, there's a link to it.
And you
I don't have my computer in front of me.
You could just Google them as well and find out.
You'll find plenty of books. You'll find plenty of things to me, you know, and some of the things are even nice.
The Human Prozac. Yeah, that's got to be.
Yes. What can I say?
And it's spelled MOCKAITIS, Tom Mikaitis. I got to ask you a final question. You don't have to answer it, but I'm curious. Do you think things would be going any differently if Hillary Clinton would have won this election?
I'm not sure. I think there would not have been, you know, the kind of rhetoric war that we've seen. But I'm not sure that, you know, that the dynamics of the development program in Korea would be terribly different. And I'm reassured a bit now that the White House has calmed down a bit on how to handle this. You mentioned that it was because of the hurricanes. That's part of it, that it's gone off the media front burner. But on the other hand, we're seeing official communications and not a lot of inflammatory tweeting going on, which I think is a healthy change. So I really don't know. It's very hard to argue a counterfactual.
All right, I'll take that. And I'm glad things are calming down and the flames aren't still being fanned on Twitter. Fingers are crossed. Thank you for everything.
Sure, anytime.
Thanks, Tom. It's Tom Mikaitis. We'll take a quick break and then more show. Bill Left, Wendy Snyder here on WGN.